Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Previously on Three of Hearts. Agent Vellum broke the duo's enemy, Grant Whittlesby, free from the control of Providence and Pandemonium, and in doing so, created a barrier protecting the entire Gatineau estate from their influence. Graham was put in a closet to deal with later. Spar, meanwhile, freed Josepha from the Goddixes and helped her work through the pain of remembering all the tragedy that Providence and Pandemonium had allowed them to forget. The agents and their allies made hurried preparations for Josepha's party, which was expected to be crawling with their enemies, only for their efforts to be interrupted by the arrival of Vellum's mentor, Merafina, who restored the estate's dying garden before collapsing from the effort.
Left off, you guys had just gotten ready for the party at the Gatineau estate. I believe the holiday being celebrated is called Ses Ensemble, which is like the word ensemble. Yeah.
I was just going to ask, can you spell that for me?
Yeah, it's a combination of the Goddix, Cecilia, wait, that's not the name. I can find out the name in a second. And the word ensemble. So hold on, let me... What's the name of that goddix? Cecilium. Like mushrooms.
Oh.
Could I get the spelling for the holiday?
Yes. It is C-E-C-E-N-S-E-M-B-L-E.
C-E-C-E-N-S-E-M-B-L-E. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So sorry about that word, everyone.
Ses Ensemble.
Yep.
Ses Ensemble.
Uh-huh. That's it. You got it.
Ses Ensemble. We celebrate the Amemonini.
Amemonini.
Uh-huh. Sorry, everybody.
Is everyone very enthusiastic about onomatopoeias during Ses Ensemble?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
We find ourselves outside of the estate, specifically where Merafina has just collapsed. Actually, I don't know. We can actually fast forward a few minutes. Like, I assume you guys, what happens? Like, Merafina has collapsed. After bringing all of the grass and flowers in this estate back to life, what do you guys do?
I wanted to know, did she come by herself? Because that changes my answer.
Okay, that's such a good question. I'm pretty sure that Max came. And I think it's Max and Merafina. Shoot, this is a thing I should have double checked. And I apologize that I didn't.
My notes say that Vellum called Gladia, and Merafina said yes, Max and Gladia said no, but Gladia's pet alligator said yes?
That's right! Okay, yes, so Merafina has arrived with... Merafina has arrived with Odious Rex.
Uh-huh. When Merafina collapses, I believe Vellum rushes over to check on her.
Okay.
He's still learning the magic, but he can at least, you know, see if she needs any medical attention.
Yes. Go ahead and flip me a intelligence. Well, actually, this is more on your feet, so a wit biology.
Okay. Wit is 3. Biology is 4. One for healthy, one for eclectic. And we got 2 kings and an ace. And everything else is just numbers. So 3 successes.
Okay, that's real good.
Why didn't Max want to come to the party?
That's a question for Jordan 2 months ago, and I'm sure I said it on microphone, and I don't know what it is.
Okay. That's fine. I don't think there was a why, or I would have written it down. Because it seems like he would have come.
Yeah. Let me think for a second.
Sure. Can always retcon.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking about. Yeah, I can't think of any reason other than that they're a bit socially awkward, but I think that they should come.
And Ishbala and Jack are off having Ishbala and Jack adventures?
Yeah, they're busy chasing down Ishbala's clone.
Yeah. Clone Bala.
Yeah. So I'm retconning it at SA's suggestion because I don't know why Max would have said no. I think Max should have said yes. So I think Max is here. Also.
Okay.
All right. So Max is here, and as a reminder, because I know I fucked this up, Max uses he or she, but not they.
Yes, that's so true.
Okay.
That challenges my usual go-to, which is just to call everybody they. Mm-hmm, I'm in a home with one person who doesn't use they pronouns, and I try not to use they for her. Anyway, Ela got 3 successes. So for 3 successes, an elderly person did fall, and I assume she probably scraped herself a little bit on like the paved walkway. And
that's too real, Jordan.
I'm sorry.
Did I tell you about the elderly person that fell in my neighborhood that I was right there and trying to catch her, but I couldn't get there fast enough, and she had like a 3.5-inch cut on her forehead, and we had to call the paramedics, and
I'm so sorry. It's not that bad.
This wasn't either. She just tripped over a stick.
But I'm saying there's no need for paramedics.
Okay, good. That was
I'm sorry that happened though.
Like during that first week after the storm as well.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So she didn't fall that bad.
No, she has some minor scrapes on her arms and legs.
Okay.
You don't see like physical need for medical attention. This is much more reminiscent of what happened after they teleported you to the bridge, like boardroom dorm that you guys were at a little while ago. And it seems just like exhaustion. So it's not good, and you should probably get her somewhere to lay down, but they're not in like immediate, like they don't need to go to the hospital.
Okay.
I think both Essa and Spar want to know why she did that. Because we know that using her magic is very hard, and this seems very frivolous. So is she well enough that like it seems like she could answer a question, or should Spar be directing this at Max?
She can answer a question.
All right. So Spar, I think, also like followed Vellum out to try to help Maribina up. And asked like, what? What are you doing?
I'm picturing that you two are like both propping Maribina up now and like getting her inside.
Yeah.
As you ask this. And then Max is on Vellum's side to prop Vellum up. And Maribina says, I did not intend to.
All right. Can Vellum attempt to give her some energy, some magics, make her feel better magics? Mm.
Yeah, can you do a coffee spell? That's a great question. Yeah. So,
well, so do you want to do a spell, or do we think the first aid kit would help?
We do have a first aid kit. So like, I was. That's a.
Are you? Yeah. Like the question, I guess, is like, how is she? Is she depleted in such a way where like Cherry Coke would help, or is she depleted in such a way where like Vellum needs to like put his hands on her and some blue glowy energy goes into her?
I was thinking, since she expended the magic for the plants, that she might need some glowy energy. We need to get her a surge.
So I know it's been a minute since we recorded. It's probably been like most of a year, this part. When Vellum tried to resuscitate Merafina after you guys were in the bridge dorm, Vellum sort of realized and sort of remembered that Godic's magic and like mortal thaumaturgy are two forces that basically aren't even compatible with each other. In terms of like, you cannot use a spell to undo Godic's magic with mortal powers. That's why, for example, it takes a magic thing given to you by the gambler to fend off the powers of Providence and Pandemonium. And why, I mean, this was never directly answered, but the reason you guys were able to resist their effects when you guys got into town in the first place is because of Spar's connection to Thaumaterra.
So, but what about the magic that Vellum has because of Spar?
It's still not the same as when Spar does Thaumaterra-related magic. Like, Thaumaterra gave mortals the ability to use magic at all, and that is what Vellum has. It's different than actually wielding Thaumaterra's magic, which is what Spar can do.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So anyway, the short version is, what Merafina has depleted is not something that Vellum could restore. However, it's okay. A good call, and I think something that Vellum would get with the biology is that her body's also just tired, and something like Cherry Coke probably would be helpful for her in this moment.
All right. We give Merafina a Cherry Coke.
All right. You give
here, the grandma drink this. Drugs. It'll fix you right up.
She does. And it doesn't have, like, it takes a second, and then you definitely see some, you know, some color in her cheeks, and the color is green. And, because it's always, she's always green. Mm-hmm. And she, like, moves into, she's in, like, the living room of the estate now. She takes a seat on, like, a poofy chair. And, she's definitely more together.
Does Odious Rex seem concerned about Merafina?
Yeah, Odious Rex will be like curled up at her feet.
Yeah.
And
not, I, you know, trying to bite Spar's ankles or anything.
Right, no, no.
Okay.
I did a flip to see if Merafina could like resist the more drug effect part of it, like the intoxication effect of Cherry Coke, and she got no successes on 7 flips. So,
okay.
She's definitely gonna be a little loopy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll say if Vellum tried to, like, walk away from her, she, like, grabs, like, puts her arm around Vellum's wrist and says, "Apprentice, you must stay by my side."
Of course. Let me know how I can help, and I will.
She says. Also, this is the good stuff. I haven't been on Cherry Coke in quite some time. No, I was actually in the room where it was invented.
Really? You will have to tell me all about it. Perhaps, after we, you know, figure out this whole situation. How much time do we have before the party starts?
Like 10 minutes.
Okay.
She's still holding onto your wrist, and she says, it's not too much to tell. I was a sort of a medical alchemist before my awakening. And they say, I know you have stuff to attend to, but I do have to ask you a question. A simple question. It shouldn't take long.
I'm all ears.
Apprentice, what, in your estimation, is the meaning of life?
Oh, that is a hard question to answer. The meaning of life, to me, is to learn as much as you can and to protect those that you care for and to do good, ideally without sacrificing yourself in the process. And he looks pointedly at Spar.
Spar's doing other shit. He is not paying any attention to this conversation.
Duck off of water's back.
Uh-huh. taking care of other fires.
I did not mean to mix up that phrase.
No, too late. We're taking it. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yep. Duck off of water's back.
I don't know if that was a very good answer, but that's what you get for Ela today, is that answer for Vellum.
I don't think anyone would give a cogent answer to someone asking you on the spot what the meaning of life is.
Skill issue. Spar has one locked and loaded.
Yeah, I don't know if Vellum has one locked and loaded, and I don't think he was expecting it either. So that was off the dome what he had.
Marafina says, why do you say, furrow their brow and say, you protect people you don't care about. Why?
That's part of the doing good aspect. And perhaps this is not the correct answer, but I believe many people would be guilty of it. If it came down to saving someone I cared about and saving someone I did not care for or just didn't know, I would most likely be saving the person I cared about. But I save and protect other people because they need protecting too, and perhaps their loved ones are not available to protect them. Everyone needs a little help sometimes.
Marafina said, back when I was... before I was Marafina, I was... well, I've always been Maseto, and before I was Maseto, the drugs. I was once a person called Fuchsia. A long, long time ago in your years. Thousands of years, I believe. Hundreds. Anyway, the drugs. And she says, I swore I would never help mortals again because they disgusted me. And I got soft after a time. And so I tried again to birth a mortal avatar. That was this one. They gestured to their own body. And she says, I found humanity at war with itself, or mortal kind at war with itself. And once again, found myself quite repulsed by your whole deal. And so I moved into the woods and waited to die. That has not yet happened. What I want to know, Vellum, from an intelligent person such as yourself, is what you see in humanity that makes them worth... She pauses and says, you may be telling your boyfriend not to sacrifice himself, but you risked your life to save Secatan without knowing it was Secatan when they were in the form of a werelion. You could have died doing that. You are willing to put yourself at risk for others. Why? What makes them worth saving?
She's really not letting up on him today, huh?
Nope.
I like to believe, and I choose to believe, that everyone has the potential for good. They may not act on it. They may act directly against it. But everyone has the chance to help other people. And if I help others, maybe they will return the favor and help someone else in the future. I don't know that. They could go on to do terrible things, but I believe that people are worth saving because of the good they may do in the future. And the things that people have the ability to create, whether that is a work of art or a new spell or potion, such as the Cherry Coke, diversity in all things is both the spice of life, but also what keeps life going. Without diversity, we would all be extinct, and if I can help protect that diversity and the potential good that may come from it, then I will.
They nod. And take a deep breath. And they say, sorry to keep you. I feel I am ailing from this internal contradiction. I used my magic to save you, and Spar, and Max, and Nat, when I teleported you all with my magic. Magic I swear to never use again to help mortals. And I think the part of me that is Misetto, and the part of me that is Merafina, and the part of me that is Fuchsia are all at war with each other. So I have to ask you this one question. If you had saved that person, that Secatan, right, and it wasn't Secatan, and instead, it had been the next Morpholomew, someone who brought unimaginable despair and ruin to this world, would you regret your choice to save them?
I would most likely feel incredible guilt and regret for having saved someone that caused so much harm, but I can't know that in the moment, and I can only hope that the people I help will help others in return. I would rather help someone in need, and the potential good they might do, rather than not help anyone, because what if they did something bad? It is a terrible terrible understatement that Morpholobu did something bad, but if the person I had saved had gone on to attack other people and killed other people, like how my parents died, I would also feel guilt and regret, but I don't think I would change it. If it were Morpholobu, I might be tempted to make a deal with Kronoshava. I admit that. But it is hard to compare. It is impossible to compare the worth of one life against another's. Would I save Sekitan knowing that in the future she might turn someone else into a werelion or harm someone else and have a similar fate as my parents? I would like to think that I would still save her, still save them. And not put the importance of another life in front of their own. But as mortals, we all make mistakes. Even goddesses can make mistakes. And some of them you can't undo. But I believe we just have to try our best, and that's all we can do. Was that a good answer? I don't know.
Merafina cocks their head and says, goddesses can make mistakes. Mortals seem almost wired to do so, catastrophically. And it is difficult to see from anyone other than a mortal's perspective why I should continue helping them. And they pause and say, but you are interesting to me. And Merafina says, you do not behave in the ways that I have seen many mortals behave. Whether that is an anomaly, or whether I just have lacked a sample size, I am unsure. But I will continue to study you, Cowan Vellum, as you study under me.
Vellum nods and, like, reaches out a hand to shake hers, or shake theirs. Mm-hmm. Does Merafina use she and they? Okay.
The old spar maneuver.
Yeah, she shakes your hand. She shakes your hand while still gripping the other wrist. And then she, mm-hmm. like, releases that wrist and then, like, pats that hand and says, thank you for your answer. And then she says, damn, I'm good. This cherry coke is really doing the trick. And she stands up and says, let's party.
And I think Vella wasn't sure whether him possibly being an anomaly is a good thing, a compliment or not, but he's going to choose to take it that way.
I think that's a good way to take it.
Merafina lives in the middle of the woods. Also, Merafina, I just haven't met any good people. I don't know. Merafina actively fleeing other humans. Who could say what humans are like?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, she made that choice after becoming a Godix who had, like, millennia of memories of what humans are like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm not saying she's not flawed. I'm just saying, like, it's not like she never met a human before she made that choice.
Mm-hmm.
oh, Jordan. Before I forget, was the medical alchemist, like, mortal avatar, was that Fuchsia?
No, that was Merafina before they realized that they were a Godix.
Did they go by a different name, or did they go by Merafina?
Merafina.
Can I get you to change your answer?
Why?
Were they perhaps known in scientific studies as their last name or something?
May I ask why?
Because for the agent fact, I had already decided that Vellum's celebrity crush was going to be someone in the scientific realm, and this seemed too perfect. If you can give me another name that maybe he hadn't put two and two together, that Merafina and this person were the same.
Yeah, I'm totally down for that. You can name them. Go for it. I love that.
Okay, cool.
I could totally believe that they would change their name when they went to go live in the woods. Like, that makes sense
to me.
Yeah.
Or they published under a pseudonym, or they published, it was like M and, right? Like, if they were, like, right. First author on a paper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
cool.
And I think after, shortly after Merafina fucking grills Vellum for existential answers, there is a knock at the door. Now, I don't really want to do a one-by-one guest arriving, but I am curious, like, if you guys would have a specific tactic about greedy guests.
Before we do that, did we get a fit check? Because I have in my notes that one of Vellum's tasks was finding us clothes. And I think we did. We had Fashion Corner, is that right?
I'm pretty sure we had a Fashion Corner.
Okay, cool.
So we'll just have to believe that the previous episode has fit descriptions. I trust in us from the past.
If it doesn't,
sorry everyone,
feel free to add us on Blue Sky or Tumblr.
If it doesn't, we'll add a post credits to the first episode to make it true. The previous episode. It's been 2 months, everyone, since we recorded the previous episode, so
6 weeks. And a little bit less.
Alright. And I moved in that time, and Ela experienced a hurricane in that time, and SA probably did some cool stuff, like ride a motorcycle.
Probably. Who could say?
I literally experienced a storm that had not been experienced in over 100 years. So it was pretty bad. Not just a regular hurricane, but
yeah, a literal natural disaster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. FEMA declared national disaster.
So yeah, what are we doing about guests arriving?
Well, this is Josepha's home, and she is experienced in society.
That's so true.
So Spar is acting as her right hand, not a butler because he's not a servant, but you can if your best friend is throwing a party and like they're mostly in charge of stuff, but they can be like, oh, hey, could you bring these coats over here? Or, oh, hey, could you get the pie out of the oven or whatever? Right. Like he's acting kind of in that capacity where he's looking to her and is like capable enough to do pretty much whatever she directs.
You're Josepha's best man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's basically the idea. If this were a wedding, Josepha would be the maid of honor and he would be a bridesmaid. Where like she's in charge of operations but can delegate to him.
Yeah. I couldn't think of the term maid of honor. I was like, is it first maid? No, that's not it.
That sounds oh well, that's something different.
Anyway, I've been to a wedding in like 12 years. Anyway,
that's for when Vellum and Spar are alone. I've seen that. Uh-huh. I've seen that fan art. Where are you, Lush?
Yes. Yes, good.
All right. Well, then in that case, guests have begun arriving, and we'll talk about who they are and what's going on at the party after the intro.
Woo!
Diddly-doo.
Folks, thank you for listening to the podcast so far. I hope you're enjoying the episode. I am Jordan Quiverns. I am your GM. I'm your host. I'm your wingman. And I am happy to have you. You can find me, if you want, on social media at Blue Sky, which is slowly becoming a real website, at Jordan Quiverns, or on Instagram, which is already a real website, at Jordan and Quiverns. My pronouns are they, them, if I didn't already say that. This week's question / agent fact theme is about people's biggest celebrity crush. And because the only NPC I've really focused on so far is Merafina, I'm going to answer who Merafina's biggest celebrity crush was. This was back when they were immortal. And they're very old, which no one Velimer's Bar would have heard of. It was... Well, they may have heard of them. They're just not around anymore. It was a composer, I think. Like classical, like orchestral music. And he was named... I'm making this all up on the spot, everyone. He was a Knoll composer. And his name was Wolfgang. No last name. Pseudonym Wolfgang.
Mm-hmm.
which would be more of a pun if he was wolf-themed, but he's actually a hyena, so it's just a coincidence. But what is a hyena if not a laughing wolf, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, Merafina, before she was an established scientist, and maybe after, was sort of a groupie. And would, like, follow him around to concerts all around the world. She was kind of a hippie. A hippie really into classical music. And now we know.
Now we know.
That's me. I did my part, everybody.
All right, good pod. Let's go home. Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Merim Felspar. He uses he, him pronouns. You can find me on Tumblr at Citrus and Salt for now. I don't know. There might be other social medias out there. I'm hearing things about this blue ski. This
blue ski.
Sky. Blue sky ski. Of colors. I don't know. I don't know. Anything could happen. my agent fact. So I think the question as posed was, who's your first celebrity crush? And not biggest.
Did I say
and
that? So okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, I have first, if not biggest.
Okay.
I think that Baby Spar used to sit next to the radio and listen to a radio play, a, like, weekly adventure serial. And the extremely dashing and handsome hero of that, who punched the bad guys and always did the right thing and wore a fedora and a trench coat and... probably had an extremely fucking cheesy catchphrase. That was his guy.
That's really good. And that sounds right. Spar became that guy.
Yeah, it's one of those things he doesn't think about too much of the, did I want to be him or be with him? We just don't, uh-huh. Unrelated.
Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would like to say that I said first, and I did mean biggest, because I said who is / was your first celebrity crush, which doesn't make sense, because that would be a was, right? But I meant is / was your biggest celebrity crush. And that's okay, that's on me. Carry on, everyone.
Yes, I did read your words that you wrote and not the ones you meant. So,
yes.
That's weird. I'm
doing my best. But yeah, that's me.
Hello, everyone. This is Ila Alexi. I have survived the Hurricane Helene, and I am here, in case you were worried. That sounds perhaps
we
more
all
serious, but at the same time, it was a pretty serious storm. Anyway, moving on. I use they and he pronouns. I play Agent Cowlin Vellum, who also uses they and he pronouns. Today's special Agent Vellum fact. I don't know if that's a special agent or a special fact. Perhaps it modifies both. Regardless, the fact is that Vellum's first celebrity crush was on the medical alchemist mortal avatar that Merafina mentioned, and he is putting that together and having a bit of a time. That was, you know, maybe a little bit distracting while she was asking him all these existential questions. Was him slowly putting those two things together. But I think it was a similar case of not sure if he wanted to be with them or be them. But I definitely think his first celebrity crush was on, you know, a scientist that he thought was super cool and, like, so smart. Which, as it turns out, is Merafina, or one of her past selves.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I have given her mortal avatar the name Rishi Devi, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It is from Hindi. I looked up some names. Rishi means sage. And I felt that was fitting both for alchemy and for her nature powers.
Mm-hmm.
And Devi means goddess, but it's also used as a surname by Indian women who did not originally have a family name.
Oh, that's cool.
So I thought that was a cool little anecdote where, you know, again, acknowledging her deityhood. Her goddess nature, while also giving her some interesting character flavor of maybe she didn't have a family as that
mm-hmm,
mortal.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
And that means that like Tara, Merafina happened to be named something incredibly on the nose for the fact that they were secretly a god.
Absolutely, yes.
Happened to the best of us.
Before
we close the metro, I do want to say Spar's answers to Merafina's questions that he had ready.
Did I say where to find me on the internet?
No, go for it.
And you can follow me at Ila Alexi on most social media. Okay, go for it, essay.
All right. Meaning of life, love and be loved. Would you feel guilty? No, that's a them problem, not a me problem.
Excellent. Good. I think there was a couple other questions in there, but that's the basics. Yeah.
Yeah, that is the basics. I love that. Beautiful. I think Merafina would have honestly loved those answers. It wouldn't have helped her at all, but she would have liked them.
Well, and also, there's a reason that Spar is not her apprentice.
Right, for sure, for sure. Before we go, I have the following, a testimonial from the Discord that I was specifically asked to do. This is from user person wearing a fake mustache in a t-shirt that says, totally not the mod. And they said, this Discord is such a warm, welcoming space ran by incredibly normal folks who aren't weird freaks about their interests looking for other freaks to talk in depth with. Whether those interests be Three of Hearts or our fandom side quests in Chinese historical dramas, Magic the Gathering, and other actual plays. Join the Discord now to meet normal, boring people.
Thank you, Lush.
Thank you.
I don't know what you mean. Their t-shirt clearly says.
Asking a lot of questions that are answered by my t-shirt.
Right. Mm-hmm. And with that, everybody, we're ready to go back to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. Whee!
Guests are starting to arrive.
Mm-hmm. I am going to basically explain who the guests are, and you can stop me if, like, one of your characters would do something. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, sorry. Before, can I stop you real quick?
No. Go on.
Okay, so we have Josepha running the show.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We have Nat, who is around.
Yeah, Nat. Okay, Nat has Graham Whittlesby tied up in a closet and is kind of waiting for him to wake up.
Okay.
Okay, so Nat is with Graham. And then Josepha has three staff members who are dressed up as animals.
Mm-hmm.
And Max is also here. Vellum, obviously, is here with Mirafina. And that's mm-hmm. our cast.
Yep.
Okay, proceed.
All right.
All right.
I think Vellum also has some experience socializing at parties, though maybe not hosting them. That's probably more Gray's thing or Jack's thing, but he might be able to, similar to Spar, help out in that regard. Just like point him in the direction, tell him what to do, Josepha, and he'll handle it.
Right. Okay. Sounds good. I will say Josepha is greeting everyone. She's like trying to be her Genevieve Gatineau, the second persona, aka GG2. Which is definitely just like someone who is very intelligent but insecure and thinks that if they act vapid, people will like them more. So it's a lot of like you are so funny, and just like flattering everybody and just kind of not talking about anything other than the people in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. So, our first people to arrive are a pair of people, who, one of which is a very pregnant elf person, and their name is Luigia, who Spar would know vaguely who that is, as someone who once kidnapped Anya. they're fine now. this is where I plug Tempest in the Teapot, available on our Patreon. And their partner, who is a crocodilian named Christina, who is wearing a very vibrant pink and purple dress. And yeah, they show up first.
Is it perhaps a mauve dress?
Yeah.
I have a whole rant about the color mauve and how it's associated with two different entirely separate colors on the color spectrum. But you can ask me all about that on Tumblr or the Discord.
No, I think it's a pink and purple dress because it's like kind of the color of Christina's whole vibe, the actual human.
Like the original color of mauve is a vibrant pinkish purple kind of fuchsia color.
Mm. But it's not pinkish purple. It's pink and purple. The dress in question.
Okay, okay. Cool.
Next is head librarian Surf Bronson. At least that's how they introduce themselves. Vellum, this is also, this is Skylar Finch. your childhood friend slash betrayer of
Vellum. Do you want to finish your sentence?
Betrayer of, why am I blinking on the name of Vellum's home?
Yue Liang.
Yue Liang, thank you.
Yeah, Vellum definitely tenses up. Does Skylar notice Vellum? Do they have a sense of recognition?
Yeah, so first of all, just to describe them really quick, they are a red-haired halfling. Vellum, you knew them as more, like, scrappy in appearance, but now they have, like, almost like a buzz cut situation. Not a buzz cut, but just, like, short cropped hair.
Closely more, cropped? Like,
pragmatically haircut. Dressed. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vellum, can you give me a wit empathy check?
Okay. 3 for wit. Empathy is 1. And 1 for healthy. I got 1 jack.
Okay. For 1 jack?
Wait. Ela, do you want to use some drive?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and use a couple drive.
Okay.
Okay. I drew 1 drive, and I got the Queen of Hearts.
Wow! That's really good. So how much, what does that give you?
So, that brings us up to 5 successes.
Nice. That's really good, because they flipped something and got 2 successes. So now you've well beaten them.
Excellent.
So you notice that Skylar is, sort of, like, acting like someone very intentionally trying to play it cool. They see you and then look away immediately and are trying not to make eye contact and act like they know you. And just, like, they generally do seem uneasy, but they're trying to act like they don't seem uneasy.
Okay.
With that many flips, okay.
I think Vellum will also try to play it cool, as if he didn't notice Skylar acting funny.
Go ahead, Essie.
So with that many flips, can Vellum tell that Skylar knows he's not Surf Bronson?
Yes, that is correct. In fact,
okay.
You see a shift in demeanor while they're talking to Josepha, because, like, they sort of stutter and, like, catch themselves as they walk into the house and are no longer affected by Province and Pandemonium's magic.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yep.
Is it because of the bubble of protection that Vellum Correct. Has? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are other people reacting to the bubble?
No one else has reacted like that, which is interesting in its own way.
Okay. Vellum's gonna point that out to Spar when he gets the chance.
Yeah, I'll say you can do that while people are still showing up.
He'll also briefly tell Spar about his history with Skylar.
The next person up is Danielle Steelbrow, a member of the Town Guard who's still dressed in, like, leather armor, and looks like she pre-gamed hard and is, like, already super drunk when she gets in the door. I will say, going off of Vellum's high flip, you also notice that she seems to get tripped up when she comes through the doorway.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be an interesting party. He says to Spar.
And then there are 2 more. Before I even introduce this person, SA, can you give me a wit investigation check?
Do I know their name?
That's sort of what the check is to determine, so I'm going to say no bonus.
Okay. Wit is 4, investigation is probably also 4. It is. So 4 and 4 is 8, and we are healthy again. Yay, which makes 9.
Can I flip a streetwise to see if I know anything about this person?
Actually, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I've got
with Streetwise. One,
3 successes and a joker.
Okay.
3 for wit, 2 for Streetwise, 1 for healthy, 1 for eclectic. One of these days I'll get body and mind again, but not today. Not yet, anyway. That is a jack of hearts, so just 1 success for me.
Okay. All right. So the next person, her name is Basanti Prowldeep, and she's a halfling, because I made her up, so obviously she is. Mm-hmm. And she's like a canine altered, so she has like dog, like floppy dog ears and like dog paws situation happening. And actually, I think people hands for convenience, but like dog-like feet. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
What about little, like human-shaped hands, but, like, with the little toe beans?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, what the Joker is here. Okay. I have a Joker for you. You put some stuff together, is what happens. So you learn that, so you remember that Jakob was looking for someone in Clovenheart who was like a missing person from Vasa Natura. That's the whole reason he wanted to go to Clovenheart in the first place. And that person had told their family they were moving to Clovenheart, wrote them somewhat regularly, and then stopped writing them. And maybe you even... And let me know if any of this sounds incorrect, and we can workshop this. I think Jakob would have said the name. I don't know if I said it on mic. Or not. But I had her name written down for a long time, so I could have, but I don't remember. The Joker is that you didn't remember that name initially, but seeing her in person, you know that you had one date with this person and it went poorly, and you like sort of blocked her name out of your mind until you have seen her again and it's all coming back.
Yeah, Spar goes on lots of dates. It is extremely,
yes.
And many times dates go poorly and then you're just moving on. So, yeah.
Can you tell me in what way it went badly?
How long ago did they have this date?
Let's say 3-ish years.
And so it would have been in Vasa Natura?
Yes, for sure.
I think they were like having a fine time and chatting and just like weren't really clicking. It was one of those where like sometimes you see somebody very beautiful and then you start talking to them and you're like, there's just nothing here.
Yep.
And he spotted Tati across the bar, and was trying not to blow anybody's spot up while trying to stop her from like picking pockets. And so he just became unintentionally more and more rude because like he was not super invested in this. And then by the end of the date, he is visibly checking out another woman.
Right.
And he made like the worst excuse. He was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I have to get home, or my dog, cat, my pet gets very upset. Pardon, I'm so sorry." And like hustled Tati out of the bar before the bartender could like press charges or anything.
That's good. And I will say, she flipping at successes that when she gets in, you get the vibe that she recognizes you too. Vellum. She applied to Suits, and she worked there as, like, a desk agent for, like 6 or 7 days, and then just, like, wasn't about it and left.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awkward all around.
And, And I'll say both of you don't get the idea that she was ever under the effect of Providence of Pandemonium, because she does not get kind of weirded out when she walks in here. And the last person you both recognize as Brick.
Oh.
the member of Chrysalis who was working in Cindershore and who Vellum sort of like had a good heart to heart with.
Uh-huh.
And you guys haven't seen since.
Okay.
And he's here. And
does he react to the magic bubble?
Let me think. I guess the answer would be yes. 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 He does react.
Does he make eye contact with Vellum and go, oh shit, or anything like that? Or is he more like, huh?
Wait a second. I need to think really hard for just a moment.
Uh-huh.
Yes. He makes eye contact with both Vellum and Spar and kind of goes, oh shit. And that's everyone. We now have a party together. And I will say, there are other miscellaneous people at this party. I think the total headcount is probably like 25. But those are all the people who are important and that I have written down. Josepha is supposed to be sort of in the know at this party. And so...
Mm. She is a guest. She's going
to try to, like, figure out... Yeah, exactly. And she's going to try to figure out, like, who the heck is here. Or, like, who the heck here is actually part of Bridge. So I'm going to flip for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to say, because you guys have both just in general flipped pretty well for being alert during this party, you notice one other thing, which is outside. It's like starting to get dark. You see a pretty tall and like broad figure who, based on general shape, you know, is probably a gnoll. Is like standing outside and just like kind of looking in and not like entering the party. They look uncomfortable.
Hmm. Are they a bodyguard for someone?
You don't know.
Are they part of the town watch? We were chased by a group of gnolls earlier, weren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, you were. And no, it was not one of them. Okay. This is someone you've never seen before. All you know about them is that they're standing outside and looking awkward.
Hmm.
I think Spar will go outside.
Okay.
And sort of, if they don't flinch or try to hide, he'll sort of be friendly and be like, hi, can I help you?
And so, yeah, this is a gnoll. It's like a hyena person, sort of like generally hair all over the body. Sort of the least human, like pre-altered, like non-altered, just least human-ish of the, like the fantasy races in our world, other than giants, I should say. And, she is wearing, like, a lot of bone stuff, which, you know, it tends to be, like, if they have, like, skulls or, like, bone, like, a jewelry tends to mark, like, leadership positions in like, gnoll society.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, thank you for noticing, or for sorry. Hi. I don't think I need anything. I didn't have like a... Nice to meet you. Who are you?
My name is Mary. He says, holding out a hand. And you?
My title is Alpha, but my given name is General Thorne.
And how should I...
God damn it, Jordan.
How should I refer to you? Or Thorin or General?
Alpha's fine.
Alpha, lovely to meet you. Shakes a giant paw.
Is every official named Thorn?
You know, that's an interesting question. And she...
General Governor Thorn? Like,
this is Alpha General Thorn.
Okay.
And I'm surprised Ela was the one to react, not Essay. And so, the Alpha, she says, she like looks past you into the window and says, is everything okay in there? Is everyone safe? I was invited to the party. I just have, do you ever get like a gut feeling that like a place is just off?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I get a gut feeling about that place.
It has been, semi-abandoned for a number of years, so that's probably right. I didn't check to see whether it was haunted, but wouldn't be surprised.
She looks around at, like, the really, like, well-kept garden, seemingly, and is like, this place has been abandoned? What do you mean?
Until quite recently. In preparation for the party, Josepha put in a lot of good work. Genevieve, sorry. That is a spar slip as well as an essay slip.
Uh-huh. Okay. She, like, cocks an eyebrow and says, but do you feel safe in there? Is anything, like, off sort of magically?
Does spar feel safe, or is anything off magically?
The only magic offness you feel is the barrier that Velen put around.
Spar says, someone I trust very, very much is in there and has made it magically safe, as far as I can tell. Magic's not my thing, but I can't promise that it's safe, but if there is something magical you're picking up on, that may be it.
Can you flip charm persuasion?
Sure. Charm is 3, persuasion is 4, so that's 7, and healthy makes 8. 7, 8. All right, I got a king, a jack, and a 3 of hearts.
Nice.
So 4.
That's the name of the podcast.
6. Hey, 6 successes.
Woo. Okay. She says, well, you know, if you're sure, I think it's safe to go in then.
He'll open the door for her.
All right. The moment she steps through the door, she goes, like, stock still. Like, as if hit by some kind of paralysis spell.
Uh-oh.
And she turns to the nearest person to her, which is Spar, and says, good evening. I am Divine Construct Designation Stoneloft. How may I help you?
Huh.
Everyone sees this happening and is, like, looking at this in great confusion.
Can you tell me what your orders were before this?
No. I am unaware of any orders. I am awaiting orders currently.
Great. Can you stand by for a moment, please?
Standing by.
Huh.
Spar goes to get Josepha and Velum, Marafina, Nat.
Yeah, everyone got it.
Do you want to leave Nat with Graham still, or are we not worried about Graham anymore?
Can we, like, lock the closet that he's in, put a dresser in front of it or something?
Absolutely.
Because Nat has Godic's experience, and I don't know if that's at all related to this, but
yeah, so also I just want to say that Alpha General Thorne's standby is to just, like, cross her arms and, like, lean against the wall like a, like, generic cool guy pose.
Can Velum have noticed this? That way Spar doesn't have to leave Alpha Thorne by themselves?
I mean, you can definitely have noticed, but I think Spar wants to talk with everybody, so it's up to you what you do.
Right. I was just thinking maybe Velum could rally the troops.
Oh, I see.
That way, like, can't go interfere.
No, Spar's gathering everybody to the, can I get that again, Divine Construct?
Stoneloft?
Designation Stoneloft.
Designation Stoneloft. Okay. He's not trying to like, talk without it? Her? Them?
Got it. Her for now, I think.
I was just worried to leave the construct by themselves, and someone else might come up and mess with stuff.
So I think, yeah, that makes sense. Then Vellum rallies the troops, Spar can stand watch.
And Spar is also doing the host thing of, like, shuttling everybody else away, like, everybody deeper into the party. Of, like, minor, we're dealing with this, right, sort of a thing of, like, go, drink some champagne, whatever. And we'll, after we briefly confer, we'll make sure that, like, at least one person is actually in the party and keeping an eye on the people.
Sounds good.
Pure panic.
Danielle, the town's guard girl, goes, like, woo, champagne! And she, like, runs into the other room.
Great.
Cool.
She says she announces she's gonna do a keg stand, which is not something you do with champagne, but I don't think she knows that.
It doesn't come in kegs, but good for her.
No. In fact, Spar, I'm just gonna say, as a socially experienced person, you get the idea that, like, this could be, for all you know, Danielle's first time ever drinking alcohol.
Oh. And
she's going way too hard.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Okay, the troops are rallied in the foyer with Alpha General Thorn or Divine Construct designation Stoneloft, depending on how you feel. What are we doing?
Vellum asks Merafina if she's familiar with Divine Constructs,
and she will nod and say, yes. Yes, I believe we have one as the mayor of Clovenheart.
Oh. Did we break this one?
She thinks for a second. I don't think she needs to flip. She says, I believe by breaking its connection to its progenitor, Providence of Pandemonium, that, yes, you have broken this one.
If they go back outside the house, will they be back to how they had been?
I am going to be totally honest. I am a sort of low-rate god, and not the sort that gets to... I'm a harvest goddess of a small town, not the sort of god who gets to create divine constructs. And I am not super familiar with their function.
Okay. Well, you're still more experienced than we are in these kind of matters, so I value your opinion and insight.
Thank you, but flattery will get you nowhere, young man.
Spar's going to pick Nat first and say, Nat, do you know anything about divine constructs or this, or have thoughts?
No. This sounds like a flip. Hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4.
I wonder if Providence and Pandemonium could sense that connection being cut off, and if they're gonna pop up in a second.
They can't. This house is PNP proof.
That's true, but they could be outside the house.
That's true. Nat got 1 success, 1 joker. She's gonna say, I mean, I know what they are. I wouldn't say that I have direct experience with one.
Can Vellum go up and talk to the divine construct?
Yeah. Nat's gonna say, if you wanted me to, this might be some kind of divine violation. It could be dangerous, but I wonder if it'd be possible, now that it's not under any particular Godex's control,
to use it
for myself to give it to Solhalla, or just drink to Merafina or Misetto.
Vellum's gonna ask, Divine Construct Designation Stoneloft, what are your functions?
You can call me Alpha General Thorn, if you wish. Or that name is in here somewhere, I think. You can also call me Divine Construct Designation Stoneloft. That's just sort of a long name. And so is General, so is Alpha General Thorn, now that I think about it. My functions? Well, I am to behave as a mortal to the best of my ability and follow my instructions to the T. And to forget what my instructions are.
Ah.
Spar is going to keep Merafina and Nat, and then send Josepha and Max back to manage the party, and got especially it. Flag Skylar to keep an especial eye on, but also, sure. Like, they know that they should keep heads on swivel.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Alpha General Thorn, can you tell me more about yourself and your abilities?
I, for all intents and purposes, currently have no self.
Okay. What about your capabilities?
I have hands that are good at lifting things. I have legs that can walk. I have eyes that can see. And I have a nose that's pretty good that can smell.
Spar, sidebar to Nat.
Uh-huh.
Could you assign her to Thaumatera?
No, I don't think so. I have no connection to Thaumatera.
I do.
Can Spar.
Perhaps you could, yes.
So, a question rephrased. Could we assign her to Thaumatera?
I don't see why not. I mean, other than the fact that Thaumatera doesn't have much of an anchor in this world. She kind of gestures to you and Velen and says, but clearly she has some. Or they have some.
My sister, too.
Nat nods and says,
Alpha General. Keep going.
Yeah. No, you go ahead. Nat just says, go ahead and try.
Alpha General Thorn, do you know what would happen if you exited these doors and away from this realm of protection?
No.
Okay, it was worth a question. He looks to Spar.
Spar looks at Merafina and Nat and says, I don't know enough to give a construct like this direct orders. I don't have any context for what I would do other than, I don't know, undermine Providence and Pandemonium or something like that. And so unless someone has a set of orders they think would work, we could try giving her to Thaumatera.
Nat shrugs and says, the only thing I would do is set her free.
Is there a her to set free?
She shrugs and says, I know very little more than you at this point. And Merafina will say, she clearly has some amount of consciousness, but I think you would basically be starting with a new person at that point. But I think that's the case no matter what we do. Because you seem to have, at least for now, erased her memory of whatever she was before.
Spar looks at Velum.
Well, this is a conundrum.
If she is a person, even if she would be a new person, then we have to. I can't enslave her.
Were you saying that if there is a person in there, or could be a person in there, that we have to set them free? Because, yes. Yep. Okay. Yeah, Velum will agree and say, it's certainly worth a shot. Let's see what happens. General Alpha Thorn. You are your own person. And have control over your own autonomy. You do not need to follow orders from anyone else other than yourself.
Vellum and Spar, can you both flip me just presence?
Presence is 2. That's an 8.
Plus healthy.
Presence success. Is okay. 3.
2 successes.
I got an ace. Should I do some drive? Can I do some drive?
You can always do drive.
Okay. I flipped 2 and got nothing.
Okay. That's 3 successes. A pink light, thread of light sort of forms between Vellum and Spar, and then also connects to General Alpha Thorn in a sort of triangle. And, or not Governor, Alpha General Thorn. Sorry, I've done this to myself as well as everybody else. And it begins to glow really brightly, and Governor, oh my god, Alpha General Thorn becomes enveloped in like a full cocoon of light, and it begins to change shape. First they become like halfling height, then they become like giant sized, then they become like a human size, and then back to a gnoll. Before finally settling on a form. And you see Spar, and Vellum, you would recognize her too. You see standing behind you a very confused, fresh-eyed, new-to-the-world carbon copy of Tara Felspar as an adult.
Okay.
And well, as that happens, Josepha flipped a 1 to get control of the party, and they flipped 3 successes as a party to be a little bit too rowdy. And when like the pink light begins like glowing in the other room, Danielle sort of like bursts in, and we'll say Christina comes in as well to sort of see what the light's about, and then Josepha follows after them, and everyone sees the scene before them, and this Tara looking not Tara says, "I think my name is General Thorn. Where am I?" And that's the end of the episode.
Huh. How does Spar react to this? I know we've ended the episode, but...
Oh, yeah. We should definitely ask that. Sorry.
I don't know. We ended the episode. Talk to me next time.
Okay. Oh, this is exciting.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monocola as Agent Felspar, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We are edited by Edel May Hampson. You can chat with all of us in our lovely community in the Discord, linked in the episode description. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can learn more and purchase the game at spacekings.space and support Kevin's work at givekevinmoney.com. All of our music is created by Louis Zong. Our intro is Doctective, our midtro theme is At Last a Piano, and our outro is Ghost Plus Guest. Find these tracks and more at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast. Support us for any price you can afford and receive access to all perks, including gag reels and the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and short stories set in the world of our show. You can also buy individual stories and episodes without being a subscriber, if you prefer. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening, and have a lovely afternoon, morning, or evening.
I was looking forward to having a gender, a null character, but this is good too.
I'll introduce another null. I also want to be very clear. This is not in no way a Terra resurrection. This is a new person who looks like Terra. Dead people are staying dead in this show.
I have so many questions. Does she look like Terra because we were involved talking to her, or
We'll find out. And post-credits bit right now. Just want to throw out that the Crocodilian, Luigia's partner, Christina, is named after Christina, one of our patrons. Thank you, Christina, for patronizing us. That sounds negative, but it's nice. And also Danielle Steelbrook is also named after a patron named Danielle. Thank you, Danielle, for supporting the Patreon. And if you want a character named after you, you can also donate to the Patreon.